Blog Talk Radio.
Whenever the laws of any state are broken, a duly authorized organization swings into action. It may be called the state police, state troopers, militia, the rangers, or
Radio Free Kansas.
These are the stories of the men whose training, skill, and courage have enforced and preserved our state laws.
Coming at you tonight live, and you could call in. I strongly encourage you to call in. Area code 646-716-8652. Call the candidate number 2. Last Sunday had a record 364 downloads. I hope you consider listening in. We might be on the cusp of something big happening. I hope you're on board and share it with your friends, whether you get it through Facebook or on, from my mail out. Definitely, please consider sharing these shows with you. I'm going to be doing 6 more shows, I think. Yeah, on the weekends. Every weekend, Saturday and Sunday from 9 to 10 p.m. They're only an hour long. 1 hour. That's all we got with you. I'll be on tomorrow night. I put my slideshow up. You've got the campaign policy cards there on your slideshow. You're more than willing to download them, steal them, and use them. If you're in Jefferson County or the 47th District, we're going to rock and roll tonight, and we're going to have some fun tonight. Tomorrow, Sunday, we'll get back to business and talk about the campaign policy cards. The policy cards encapsulate what I'm after. You know, what I want to do when I go to the State House, they're the bare minimum, by the way. But I'm going to, I'm going to talk more about it. If you call in, ask me, what do you want to do, Mike? Are you out of your mind? Well, 646-716-8652. Let's talk. Let's talk about what's going on. No problem whatsoever. I hope you enjoy tonight's show. We're going to have a great time. Here we go. From Jim Herman, by the way. Jim Herman of the Kansas Progressive, formerly of the Kansas Progressive Caucus, back when it was a hell-raising thing. Turnpike.
Thank you.
Jim Herman, he was a he introduced me to the Kansas Democratic Party's Progressive Caucus over 4 years ago. I mean, we're talking back in the Brownback days. Jim Herman is a voice of freedom. I mean, I guess he's an instrumentalist. I mean, he plays. He told me that that cut that you just listened to, it took him over and over. You know, he'd play it back. He did all that. From what I understand, he did all that by himself. The fiddling, the drums, everything. And he overlaid it on a tape track. I mean, that's amazing stuff. I really miss Jim. You know, Jim left the state of Kansas quite a few years ago. But he gave me a entry into the Kansas Progressive Caucus. Now, after several years, I was ran out of that caucus by a bunch of lobbyists. I think, you know, lobbyists. I mean, can you believe that? They took over that Kansas Progressive Caucus, and they were on one issue. They weren't on equal pay or equality. They were, I mean, yeah, under Brownback, that was, I mean, you know, gay rights, trans rights, all good things, abortion rights for women. Well, I guess a man might need it. I don't know. Maybe for hemorrhoids. But, I mean, you know, they were all for identity, what I would call now, in 2020, identitarian liberation, which is a good thing. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But they took over the Kansas Progressive Caucus. And I don't think I was welcome. I was not welcome. I was ran off the board of directors. I at least ran off the officers of the Kansas Progressive Caucus. A prominent member currently holding elected office once in 2000, I can't remember the year, it was during the same time, came up behind me and walked behind me and yelled at the top of his lung that I was a communist to run me off, run me out of the Democratic Party convention. I expected no less. I mean, you know, it's not like the Republicans understand. I mean, just look at Donald Trump. His definition of socialism is about as crude as his endorsement of Christians. And you don't know, Donnie does not know the difference between a Protestant Pentecostal or a dogmatic Catholic. He doesn't know. He has no idea what he's up into, and he probably will go to jail for it. Maybe he should. You know, maybe he should. I think he probably should. We'll get to the local news here. We'll get to the local news tonight if I figure out how to run these sliders. My God, 162 downloads last Sunday, and that does not include the over 200 on Stitcher. That's pretty cool, dude. That's something to it. You know, there's something to it. I think our campaign is working great. And we need to continue. We've got a long ways to go. You live every minute. Live every minute. From now to November. You really need to support the weekends of Radio Free Kansas. I hope you check it out.
quiero luz de luna para mi noche triste, para soñar divina la ilusión que me trajiste, para sentirte tuya, tuya tú como ninguna. Pues desde que te fuiste yo no he tenido luz de luna. Pues desde que te fuiste yo no he tenido luz de luna. Yo siento tus amarras como garfios, como garras que se ahogan en la playa de la farsa y el dolor. Y siento tus amarras arrastrar en mi noche callada, que sea plenilunada, azul como ninguna. Pues desde que te fuiste yo no he tenido luz de luna. Pues desde que te fuiste yo no he tenido luz de luna. Está triste y está sola, al menos tu recuerdo ponga luz sobre mi bruma. Pues desde que te fuiste yo no he tenido luz de luna. Pues desde que te fuiste yo no he tenido luz de luna.
Podían caminar.
the mute button. You can play that, brothers and sisters in Jefferson County. You should play that at your beer and bonfire barbecue and enjoy some culture outside of what we have here in Jefferson County. I think it's a wonderful thing. And I've got lots more music to play. But we have my favorite truck driving brother, Mark, who wants to come on. And you're welcome to call in. Area code 646-716-8652 and listen in and offer your comments. Let's see if we get him on. Mark, are you there?
Yes, I am. Oh, brother.
All right.
Mister. You've been a busy man.
Hello, bro. Huh?
You've been a busy man.
Oh. I haven't really even went out yet in my truck. I'm getting ready to do that in the next 2 weeks.
Well, I got you wonderful, wonderful, wonderful little handouts you got with really creative. I gave one to my wife.
Oh, the Paul.
You know, the one with the marijuana. She picked that one out.
Well,
we're going to use them as bookmarkers. And they're very nice. We like them. Very good. Excellent. Good job.
They're homemade.
So,
can you tell they're homemade?
And they're homemade, by the way. Yes, they are.
Yeah,
we love them.
They're homemade.
We're country folk. We love anything homemade. What's up, Paul Dunk? Anything homemade, we love it. So, and that's my bird telling me to go fuck off. But anyway,
what is the name of your what is that? The parrot or the parrot?
The bird. Yeah, that's the Mexican yellow cap parrot, and his name's Big Bird.
It names what? What is it?
Big Bird. You know, like the big finger. We call him the Big Bird.
You told me once that he was. He's like, how old is he? How old is that dog? That bird?
Right. He's 35 years old. He'll live to be 70. He'll outlive me. You know. And he lets me know it every day, you know. So, I love your music. I think it's very accommodating for our political times now. I mean, right now, our political sphere is sort of like a third world country in Latin America. You know, our president's calling up the militia to revolt and appropriate music for political theater.
Well, they're not really militia. From what I talked to and listened to, they're really just guys that want to spend their kids' future. You know, they spend a lot of money for those guns and uniforms, and I think they're more fixated on killing people. I think they're inherently a violent people that were wanting to do that to the governor of Michigan.
They're extremist, racist, supremacist, tribal government type of individuals. You know, I mean, it was just not the Wolverine Watchmen. There was a lot of that. You know, I mean, there was some militia from the state of Kansas that was supposed to be pinpointed on this investigation by the FBI. They're talking about the violent overthrow of present government and making Michigan, Minnesota, Wisconsin, the northern upper states as a homeland, and they don't want the federal government in. So, and they believe in tribal government. It's sort of, you know, medieval type of shit, you know. You know, I'm the Lord and Master of my acreage, and I have my peasants. And oh, by the way, no black people or brown people allowed in here,
right.
And no gays. You know, my
no
labor
Demo-
forces.
And no Democrats.
Oh, no, no, no. There won't be a Republican property. There won't be any kind of Democratic or Republican parties. There'll just be feudalism. But that's basically what they want.
I have to do it.
We got the guns. We're the superior ones. And you little poor people are going to work for us. You know, and that's what they want.
The switchboard's filling up. Area code 646-716-8652. And I have an unscreened individual. Let's hear what he has to say. Listen, listeners, you have to punch one to get in line. Now I'm going to try to talk about Jefferson County, Kansas.
We only talk about Kansas a lot.
But here's a listener. Here's a listener coming on. He flagged. I think it's a man. Hello, I hear the beep. That means you're on. Are you there? 612 area.
Good evening, guys. How are you doing?
Okay. Speak up.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to address some of the points you brought up about the supposed militia group that was involved in the potential kidnap of the governor of Michigan. The media, I noticed, was quick to go ahead and call these guys right-wing militia. I don't know why they just threw that phrase out. One of the individuals by the name of Brian Caserta, you can look this up, has videos of him online openly calling himself an anarchist with an anarchist flag, bashing Trump, bashing Republicans, espousing far-left radical ideas. So I don't know why the media just wants to run with this narrative, as usual, for political reasons and not tell the whole truth. Is it deserves for people to repeat these lies over and over again and just to perpetuate whatever political narrative they want to perpetuate?
I don't think this is a political group, sir. This is not a political group. They don't believe in a right wing or a left wing. There's no wing. They believe in total anarchy, and they want a feudalism type government, meaning that we have the guns, and you poor people are going to work for us. Extreme power. They don't want any kind of rule or order, or any kind of civilized law. Their law is what they want. These groups are very dangerous to our democracy. I mean, we cannot live as a civilized people without a central form of government that we all believe in and support. And we cannot live as a civilized society without any kind of laws or rules. And this is not political, what these people are doing. What these people are doing is calling violent overthrow.
Yeah, I was going to say, I agree with that, and what they stand for is wrong. The issue is not that. The issue is what the media decided to label them as. And if you see most of the news reports that came out, they were immediately labeled as right-wing militias, despite the fact that these guys are clearly not right-winged. Like you said, they're not right or left. These are purely anarchists. But the media decided that narrative because they wanted to use it for political reasons, because obviously the majority of the media is pro-Democrat. And in an election year, especially in this year, where the media has probably the most hated president from their perspective, and they're desperate to get this guy out, they're just going to run with this narrative. Just like how ABC News did with the Breonna Taylor case, when they falsely claimed that the police went to the wrong house and shot an innocent woman in her bed. And in doing that, they set up a whole chain of events that led to where we are today. So we're continually plagued by a media that plays political games, and the general public is unaware of the fact that the 85% of news journalists are registered Democrats and treat the media as a propaganda tool. Right? The public's aware of Fox News and their bias towards Republicans, but the rest of the networks, the public seems to be unaware of the fact how biased every other news outlet is to the left. And so, you know, I'm sick of these games that keep getting played in our country, and it's why we're so divided today.
Yes, I agree. And what you do,
Mark,
I listen to the news.
Mark, excuse me, clarify what you said there at the very last bit. I didn't hear that exactly.
No, I said the general public in America is unaware of the partisanship of the media, right? Like, most know about Fox News. So if you mention Fox News, the vast majority of the public knows that they're biased to Republicans. Almost everybody knows that. But the general public doesn't realize that every other major news outlet in America is biased towards Democrats. They don't know that. They don't know that CNN and ABC and the New York Times, none of these news outlets are objective news sources. They're all propaganda outlets, either biased to Republicans or biased to Democrats.
Okay.
Well,
now,
you should listen to a foreign news service like BBC. They're not biased.
BBC is very biased, sir. They are extremely biased.
They're not.
They're a liberal network.
Well, excuse me, Mark. Guy, what's your first name? What do you want to go by?
Mike.
To talk. All right. It's okay, Mike. I'm Mike. All right. Now, what news outlets do you trust?
Well, there's some of the newer ones like The Hill. A lot of times I go to Real Clear Politics because I just try to get from both sides and just what's the truth.
Slow down. No. Slow down so that people can clearly hear what you're saying. Go ahead, son. Go ahead, brother.
Okay. There's a recent news organization called The Hill that is done by a conservative and a liberal that they're on together that I look at as a good source. They try to be as objective as possible. I look at realclearpolitics.com. It's a good website where they present both conservative and liberal sources, and I like to look at both and try to weed out the truth from in it because both sides have nuggets of truth. You just got to know how to weed out the BS and the spin that they like to play.
I got it. Hmm. That's great. I listen to The Hill, too, especially Crystal Ball and Sagar NG. I mean, those two guys I like that because you're supposed to be getting, they're trying. Crystal Ball is trying to do The Hill from the left, and Sagar NG is doing it from the right. And I find that right-wing populism that he defines is totally different than what Donald Trump defines. Do you really think Donald Trump is a conservative populist for the best interest of the majority of working people in the country?
His agenda, I would say, is definitely, especially what he campaigned on in 2016. That's why he won the election.
Boy, that's true. But he hasn't done anything on what he campaigned on in 2016.
Well, you would have to understand the
Tell me one thing.
I can break it down for you because, okay, well, hold up, man, calm down. I don't know if you're one of these like anti-Trump people that are gonna go get crazy on me just by the mention of the guy's name.
I think
I'm an independent,
good.
So don't just attack me as some Trump supporter and think you're just
going to...
We're
not playing any of that game. I believe in some Trump's platforms that he ran on 2016 were good platforms on the issues, but he hasn't done any of that. And my main President Trump...
Okay, so let's break it down, right? So we understand... We all know from civics class there are three branches of government, and the executive branch oftentimes, in order to pass legislation, is dependent on what comes out of the legislative branch, right? So Trump can't operate on his own. He's not going to write a bunch of executive orders and get his agenda done. He needs the Republicans and some Democrats, if they're willing to sign off on his stuff to get through the House and Senate, correct?
I'm listening.
No, I'm just being clear that we're all in agreement here, because
his first two years of presidency.
I don't think we're in agreement, actually. I mean, I think Trump.
President doesn't need to get
No. Listen, hear me out. I don't. Trump promised. He was Bernie Sanders light when he campaigned. I mean, he was like a 3.2% version of beer when it came to Bernie. I mean, honestly. I mean, he says. I mean, he really failed in the last 2 years. I mean, he didn't deliver any of his platforms that he talked about. And I read Bob Woodward. Now, I'm not going to write Bob Woodward off. I mean, yeah, he's a millionaire like Rachel Maddow. But I think his book, Fear, had a lot. It was his first book, Fear, because he talks about if Trump is so anti-war, why did he surround himself with generals who were nothing but pro-war? I mean, this is a thing about Trump. I think Donnie really was pursuing whatever gave him the best "quote unquote" deal. Unquote. I mean, he was not into. I don't even really think he thought he would win this election with Hillary. Although, you know, I hate Hillary. I've got to tell you right now, I hate. You know, I voted for Bill Clinton in 1990. And it was the first time I ever cast a vote, and I've never been a member of a political party till 2016. That's what is that 36 years that I was really reluctant, and believe me, Bill and Hillary Clinton totally turned me off to partisan politics. And I had hopes for Donald on January of 2000, you know, his first year he was in. But man, what a failure! I mean, this guy is. I mean, why did he bring all these generals?
So now let me finish.
Why did he bring in, why does he get his advice from Fox News? Why didn't he go to Consortium News? Why didn't he go to...
It's very easy to answer that, sir. It takes a little bit of common sense. You got to have a little bit of objectivity, right? So I'm not this big Trump fan, and I'm not a Trump hater, so I don't let my emotions cloud my judgment when I evaluate this guy. Let's just talk things objective here, okay? Trump's agenda, fundamentally, 2016... is not in line with the Republican agenda. We agree on that, right? That those are two very different things, correct? What Trump wanted to do in 2016...
Trump's agenda was to eliminate everything Obama put in place. That's Trump.
No. I'm talking about his policy. You're the one that called him Bernie Sanders like, correct? By saying that you're referring to his protectionist trade policy.
That's me.
Okay, so if you know Trump's agenda in 2016, that is not the GOP agenda. The Republican Party was not on board with that at all, with the exception of a few things. The majority of it, they did not want to do. That's a fact. So when he came in, even though the Republicans had the House and the Senate, they themselves were not on board with most of his agenda. All they wanted from him was the tax cuts. That's it. They didn't even want to build the wall because Republicans don't really want to stop illegal immigration because they profit from it. They like the cheap labor, so they don't want to stop that flow. When it came to his protectionist trade policies, if you've seen a documentary that PBS put out about the China trade war, they break down the inner workings in the White House where you have Steve Bannon and the ones who were advocating for more protectionist policies and wanted to go to a trade war with China versus the GOP side, which wanted the free trade, they call it, which was what we're in our current setup now, where there's no level of the playing field. The side that was on that side, on the GOP side, ultimately won out once Steve Bannon got kicked out. And once Steve Bannon left, the populism aspect of Trump's agenda, because Bannon was the one that was influencing Trump to go that direction. Once he got kicked out, that's when all the right-wing establishment Republican guys surrounded it, filled the administration, and they're the ones that have pulled Trump into more of a traditional Republican position.
Okay. Okay.
And then, and now let me address. I'll make my last point here about the Fox News.
Hold on.
May I?
You're in a speech. Let the other listener, Mark, go ahead. Comment, Mark.
Okay. First place, when Mike Two, your guest just called in. That's what I'm calling Mike Two. You're correct. Here's what I mean. First place, Steve Bannon declared war on the elites. On the elite, declared war on globalism, and that's why the Republican Party for the first 2 years didn't support Trump, because Steve Bannon was there. And when Steve Bannon came, they got rid of Steve Bannon. Or Trump administration got rid of Steve Bannon. It's very clear that the Republican strongholds. Mitch McConnell, minority speaker of the House, Mark Meadows, all them, and even the Republicans that were speaking out against Trump, you know, Lindsey Graham, others, gathered themselves around Trump because Bannon's gone. When Bannon was the big powerhouse of the Trump administration, you know, and he Trump and what's her name? The one that just quit. His advisor got him elected. Trump, Mike Wines was exactly correct. He said Trump did not have any expectations of winning. None. But Bannon and McDonnell knew that they pushed him. They did strategic moves in the states, the power states, that would get him elected. But when he got elected and Steve Bannon moved himself to the center, that's when these Democrats, the Republicans, on the last 6 months of these 2 years of Trump's administration, moved in and surrounded themselves and aligned themselves with President Trump. And if you don't believe me, there was a broadcast from 2018 when they all went up and basically were kissing the ring of the Pope in the Rose Garden, telling Trump how great a president he was and how his leadership is basically they were kissing his butt on public TV. And they surrounded themselves to him, and that made the... I'm not going to say extreme right, but the base, Trump's base, and plus, very happy with him because they were trying to make sure that the Republican Party would secure the next 2 years in the Senate, in the House of Representatives. It didn't work in the House of Representatives. But that's what's going on. Trump is right now...
Thank you. Mark.
Right now, Trump's... The Republican Party are jumping like bats off the sinking ship, Trump ship. They're jumping.
What?
They're turning on them. Yeah, well, they're turning on them.
Yeah, they did the same thing in 2016. Remember when the whole Access Hollywood tape came out? The Republicans never learn, man. They got to stop believing the polls. They got to stop believing the media.
Well,
if they don't realize Trump's about to win, they're crazy.
It's not really the media. It's the actual things that he's doing now. That's just crazy. It's just crazy, and it's insane stuff that Trump's doing now.
Yeah, but regardless
and
of what Trump does, that's crazy. Nothing's crazier than the Democratic agenda and with all the social
now
games that the Democrats are playing.
We're not even talking about the Republican or the Democrat. We're talking about individuals.
No, but this is not about the individual. Like, this election is not about Trump or Biden. This is about what kind of country are we going to be?
This is about Donald
Trump. And are we
going to
go
with
the Democratic agenda here?
Mark. Let me get a word in. Mike, are you saying that basically Trump's so-called battle against the globalists, is that where you're at? What's your point? I mean, he hasn't done anything domestically. I mean, his,
okay.
Other than the reason
Trump's going to win is not because of Trump. Like, you know, Trump did not win in 2016 because of himself. he won because the Democrats were so corrupt and Hillary Clinton was one of the worst candidates in the history of America.
Jeez.
Okay, the guy was tripping over coffee tables and stepping on rakes. He was saying stuff that would have torpedoed anybody else's campaign.
Let me ask you a question. If we're going to go back in time, the reason Trump won is that the majority of the people in the United States would look at him as a breath of fresh air, a change of the usual politics going on in Washington, and that he gave them hope that he would come in and stand up for the forgotten people. Do you believe that?
That's like a propaganda way of saying that. I think the reality of what happened was.
No, I'm just asking. I mean, this is what.
The reason he won is because he saw a weakness that the Democrats had left themselves open to. What is that? He saw in the polls how unpopular political correctness had become. He realized that, and he saw the fact that all these politicians, both right and left, were continuing with the PC BS that everybody hates. So it was his literal strategy was, I'm going to come in here, be as anti-PC as possible, and these politicians, because they don't understand the culture, they're going to attack me for not being PC, thus playing into my hands, thus getting people to come to my side. That was his whole shtick from the jump. Then he figured out the culture war, and he realized that the country wants economic populism, whether it be left or right. They just don't want all the social BS that the far left wants to bring in. So the goal here is this, whether it be Bernie Sanders or Trump, right or left, the first group that figures out just put economic populism on the table and drop the social engineering nonsense like the LGBT.
Hey, look. Listen, buddy, taking the microphone and holding it too long, I'll put you right back on. Right back. But listen to me. You've got, Mike.
Bring him back on.
You've got to, I will. But he's got to chill out on this angle. The guy, you're way off, Mike. You're way off.
Mike, he's speaking his opinion.
We already live in a socialist society, but it's all directed upward.
He's speaking his opinion. And he's
back on.
He's back on what he has to say.
You're back on, Mike.
Yeah, I know that. So apparently, what, you don't like what I'm saying or something? I mean, you don't have to agree with me. We can agree to disagree.
I'm just telling you what I'm seeing
in the country.
I think you're dominating the microphone. You're not being short.
I literally spoke for 1 minute and 20 seconds. The guy prior to me spoke for about a minute 10.
Well,
and you're cutting me off saying I'm dominating the mic.
We'll time this back. But listen, okay. I'll check it out. But listen, literally, please listen. What is your conception that it makes you so hostile to what socialism has offered in 130 countries around the world? What's your problem?
It's because my family came from a communist country and I had most of my family murdered, so I know what this leads to. Okay?
Okay.
I'm not one of these naive Americans that believes in socialism.
Socialism is an ideology. It's not a form of government. Socialism is an introduction to serve taxpaying dollars to serve the majority of society. It's not a government. It's an ideology.
Let's remember what Lenin said.
Lenin was a communist.
Well, what did Lenin call socialist?
Well, Lenin
called socialists useful idiots. Why did he call them that? Do you know why?
Look.
But we don't have
Lenin. What did Mussolini?
Or Stalin.
What did Mussolini? What did Mussolini and Hitler call the capitalists?
Hmm.
Why are you changing the topic?
I'm not changing.
Yeah, you
are
changing
the
topic because Lenin was a communist.
I'm telling you that dictators are dictators. It doesn't matter whether.
No, it's not about dictators being dictators. First of all, Mussolini and Hitler were not capitalists. Obviously, if you
wait a minute. Hold on, Mike.
Do you know what the word Nazi comes from? That's from a German from the word National Socialism.
Yes, of course I know.
Okay, if you study the 25-point plan of the Nazis, that was definitely not a capitalist plan.
Come on,
I just want to be clear because there's a lot of people in America that seem to think that the Nazis are almost compatible to like the Republican Party. I just want to be clear that people know that the Nazis
were
socialists.
Mark, let me say something. God damn it, Mark. All right, I'll fix this. All right. We know that they had the word socialist in the NSLDP, okay? Can you hear me, Mike?
I'm listening.
All right. And we know that everybody can call themselves capitalist and socialist. Everybody. But that doesn't mean what you do is real on the ground. I mean, we can see that. I mean, look at what happened to the countries of Carnegie and DuPont and Mellon and of Hitler and Mussolini. I mean, they all these people pay homage to the ideologies that they think at that moment will help them win support and take over and hold power. That doesn't mean, that's like saying these gun-toting white Nazis are all Christians. I mean, these are ideological battles, and to define them, we need to really look deeply into them. And I think socialism is a fact of life since I would say 1848. I mean, it's a thing you have to deal with. The U.S. Postal Service, firefighters, police, all those are examples of socialist models. I don't think you get that, or you don't want people to know that. I think that's actually what's going on. You don't want people to know that. And we really got to get our act together. We've got 2 minutes. Mike, thank you for calling in. You got 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay, so when it comes to this delineation between socialists, communists, and Nazis, the fascists, what these are different denominations of a fundamental belief. For example, if you would take a Catholic and a Protestant or a Sunni and a Shia, they may have different ways of implementing their idea, but they share a core foundation. That's what happens when you talk about Nazis and fascists and socialists and communists. They're all part of a belief system. They're just different denominations of it. They implement them in different types of ways, but they agree on core principles. They're all based on collectivist economic models. That's what it comes down to. What America has is not a socialist system. As much as the leftists in this country would love it to be the case, it's not. They have certain socialist policies, but fundamentally, this is an individualistic capitalist nation, period. It's based on a free market. And I love how the left in this country likes to point to Scandinavia and point to these countries in Europe and say, those are socialist countries, not acknowledging the fact that they have a free market capitalist system. They just have large social programs that they're able to implement due to heavy taxation. I love how Democrats never break even with people and tell people in those countries like Denmark and Norway and Sweden, if you make $60,000 a year, you get taxed anywhere from 40% to 60%, depending on what country. Now, if Americans in here want the Scandinavian economic models and that type of government and that type of system, then at least have the honesty and tell the people what the taxes will really be like and stop selling this fantasy dream that all you got to do is tax corporations and the 1% and that's going to cover the bill. That's a pipe dream. That's a lie. So if you're going to advocate for a certain system,
okay.
Tell the people the whole truth and stop sugarcoating it.
How would you know it's a lie? A lie when it's never been tried, except maybe in 1949 through 1951.
No, I'm saying it's a lie to tell the American people that you can have
these programs. May I have 30 seconds, please?
Not only taxing the corporation.
Hold on, Mike. You're out of line, dude. Now, look, I did not interrupt you, and you go on and on and on, Mike. I'm sick of
this. May I have 30 seconds, please?
This is exact – no, Mark, I'll cut you off, dude. Mike, you can listen. You can hear me. But I'm telling you, this is exactly the bully way of talking to people. You need, honestly, to sit back a little bit and think about – when you come up for air, you need to stop talking. I mean, you are exact. I mean, come on, man.
Easy.
You're
May
not
I
even
have 30
there.
Seconds, please.
30
May
seconds, and we got to close the show. Mike, I'm sorry, man, but you really just go on, and it's always capitalism. All right.
Okay.
Go ahead, Mark. I'm sorry to bother you.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
See, it's okay. With the problem, what's going on in our world, it's just really quite simple, is that, and especially here in our country, United States of America, is people are greedy. They want to keep our money, and they don't want anything to happen. They want less taxes and keep the money. It's all greed. The problem never did with that greed, with that ideology, is that with our technical advances in life and infrastructure, highways, cars, telephones, electronic, electrical systems, whatever, it has to be paid for. It's not something that's just free. That's why we get, and people who don't want to pay taxes don't want to live in our society equally with anybody else. That's the problem. And like I said, socialism is an ideology of a society paying their fair taxes and getting implemented from our government, social programs to help us live better, to improve our lives. If we have to pay higher taxes to have free health, free education, better highways, green environment, then so be it. We have to get away from this greed of keeping money for myself. We live in a society that we have to help and support each other by paying our fair share of taxes. Now, like Trump, who didn't pay anything for 10 years, in the first 2 years of his presidency, he only paid $750. That's not fair. And if you want to live in a society where I keep all my money and everybody else can just kiss my ass, then you need to find a different place to live. Because that's not the society. And that's not what the Constitution says.
Right.
We are Constitution. Our Constitution says it's the pursuit of happiness. The pursuit of happiness.
And the general welfare.
The right and the left, who are conservatives, they take the Constitution for word. The Democrats, who are liberals, have a wide definition of the Constitution. That's the difference. But the big thing that our biggest problem with our country is the individual American who do not want to pay the fair share of taxes. That's the problem. If you want to live in our society and progress with our society, you have to pay your fair share of taxes so our society can reap the benefits from those taxes for social programs. That is what everybody is calling socialism. We already have it, social welfare, Social Security, Medicare, food stamps for the people who are underpaid from the capitalists. If you want to understand why social welfare is about, look at the rich people, the corporations who don't pay their workers enough money. They're not have to go to these programs. So that's my saying on it all. Quit being greedy. Pay your fair share of taxes. all of us. And the rich should pay more because they make more money off the sweat of the back of the American workers. That's the problem. That's it. It's not hard. It's not difficult.
Of mighty cities, mid the roar of whirling wheels, we are toiling on like chattel slaves of old. And our masters hope to keep us ever thus beneath their heels, and to coin our very lifeblood into gold. But we have a glowing dream of how fair the world will seem when each man can live his life secure and free. When the earth is owned by labor and there's joy and peace for all in the commonwealth of toil that is to be. They would keep us cowed and beaten, cringing meekly at their feet. They would stand between each worker and his bread. Shall we yield our lives up to them for the bitter crust we eat? Shall we only hope for heaven when we're dead? But we have a glowing dream of how fair the world will seem when each man can live his life secure and free. When the earth is owned by labor and there's joy and peace for all in the commonwealth of toil that is to be. They have laid our lives out for us to the utter end of time. Shall we stagger on beneath their heavy load? Shall we let them live forever in their gilded halls of crime, with our children doomed to toil beneath their gold? But we have a glowing dream of how fair the world will seem when each man can live his life secure and free. When the earth is owned by labor and there's joy and peace for all in the commonwealth of toil that is to be. When our cause is all triumphant and we claim our Mother Earth and the nightmare of the present fades away, we shall live with love and laughter, men who now are little worth, and we'll not regret the price we have to pay. But we have a glowing dream of how fair the world will seem when each man can live his life secure and free. When the earth is owned by labor and there's joy and peace for all in the commonwealth of toil that is.